The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
Insider Podcast brought to you by Big O Tires and Laura Britt. We're going to Miami.
We are going to Miami because the 49ers are going to Miami. They maul the Green Bay Packers, and some of the stats got a little padded in the second half of the game, but the 49ers go into halftime up on the Packers 27-0. Don't even let them get any points on the board in the first half. So it was a really dominant performance all the way around from the 49ers.
Yes, it certainly was. So the 49ers win the NFC Championship game for the seventh time in franchise history. They're going to their seventh Super Bowl. They are 5-1 in Super Bowls. And I mean, this one just followed the script. I mean, the 49ers had that dominant running game against the Vikings. Everybody thought, well, there's no way they can run the ball as effectively against the Packers as they did against the Vikings. And it turned out they didn't. They ran it more effectively than they did against the Vikings. It was just an incredible performance, especially when you consider Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he doesn't even have to ice his arm. He didn't break a sweat. He was just along for the ride, and the ride was provided by that offensive line and Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, Raheem Mostert has four touchdowns. He had 29 carries for 220 yards. And what you were saying about Jimmy Garoppolo, he only had 8 passing attempts in the entire game. It's the fewest passing attempts in a championship game in NFL history. But I think that kind of embodies what this team stands for. They don't care about padding their stats. They don't care about who has the ball. What they care about is they care about a W at the end of the day, which is what they walk away from Levi's Stadium on Sunday with.
Yeah, and Raheem Mostert, 220 yards rushing. That's the most for a 49er player in franchise history. Not just the postseason, in all of franchise history. And I was there, I saw Frank Gore back in 2006 run for 212 yards against Seattle. And to think that Raheem Mostert, a guy who was a journeyman, I mean, a guy who just bounced around the league, couldn't find a home. And let's just say he's found a home with the San Francisco 49ers, because he has just been phenomenal. I mean, he came here as a great special teams player, and now he's a great running back. It's been phenomenal to watch him, and he's just one of those guys in that locker room that is just a cool, class guy, and you just love to see good things happen to good people. And he is just, a lot of praise for Raheem Mostert for the way he's handled himself.
His story is just phenomenal. And the players in the Niners locker room, they all have his back. And the mentality, the mental hurdles that I imagine he had to overcome to be cut by so many teams. He said in his postgame presser that he consulted with his wife after he was cut one of the many times. And, you know, just questioning whether or not he should continue on this journey. And she encouraged him, saying, if you love your job, if you love what you do, keep at it and keep going. And I know the 49ers are thankful and grateful that he did keep going and that he's a part of this, really this magical locker room that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have put together.
Yeah, and one of the bad things, the only bad thing really that happened to the 49ers came in the first half when Tevin Coleman went down with a shoulder injury. Don't know what his status is, but it's another one of those situations where, you know, Matt Breida, You know, he didn't see much action today, but we know what Matt Breida can do. Jeff Wilson was inactive. We know what Jeff Wilson can do. When Tevin Coleman was injured earlier in the year, all Jeff Wilson did was get out there and score a couple touchdowns a game, it seemed like. So, obviously, the 49ers hope that Tevin Coleman will be able to play. Right now, it's kind of iffy. They're hoping that he can, but we shall see. Hey, Laura, I just want to go back to after the game. I was out there on the field, and I was able to grab some guys in the middle of the celebration. So let's hear from some of those guys. Let's start it off with Richard Sherman, who he came here last year. The team struggled. He had that history, the Seattle 49ers history. And, I mean, a year later, here he is playing for another Super Bowl. It'd be the third time that he's played in a Super Bowl, and he kind of iced this game with a late interception. So here's Richard Sherman after the game. Richard, you showed a lot of trust by coming here. What made you think that this could happen?
Well, Kyle and John and Robert Saleh, you know, I thought they had the formula. I thought they had the talent, and obviously they have the pedigree. You know, obviously Kyle calls a great game, and I trust Saleh to call the games that he has. Richard Hightower deserves a ton of credit for how special teams is playing. John Lynch deserves a ton of credit for building this beast. But I really believe, you know, people told me I came here just for the paycheck and that I came to a losing team and I was ruining my career. But I saw the vision, and I'm thankful that we were able to make it a realization.
Did you ever waver over a four-win season?
I didn't. You know, I believed in my guys, and that's what it's about. You can't control what other people think, but you can control the faith you have in your men, and that's what we did.
And it clinched it with an interception.
Yeah, I gave up an easy one earlier, so I had to end it.
And also after the game, caught up with Robert Saleh, you know, the defensive coordinator, the defensive whiz for the 49ers. What a tremendous job he's done. And that 49ers defense really, I mean, the game was won at halftime, 27-0. But, you know, the Packers came back in the second half, and there were probably a couple uneasy moments for the 49ers. But when you think about what they did in the first half to set the tone and to pile up that 27-0 lead, a great performance by Saleh's defense.
Yeah, and that's just been the trademark of the 49ers all season long. And now that the entire roster is healthy, ahead of the NFC Championship game on Sunday, the entire roster was healthy, and you get guys like Quan Alexander and you get guys like Dee Ford. There's nowhere to go for opposing offenses now.
Yeah, so here's Robert Saleh after the game.
Robert, fantastic performance by the defense. What did you come into this game trying to do?
You know, we just tried to eliminate explosives as much as we can, stop the run game early, and see if we can get the ball a couple of times from Aaron. If we could do that, we can get it to our offense, who really felt good going into the game with their game plan.
You guys showed a lot of confidence in Emmanuel Mosley, and he came through for you. What do you see from that kid that just enables him to do this?
You know, it's like I said in our press conference on Thursday, you know, the kid's unflappable. He's going to keep grinding. He's going to do things the right way, and no matter what happens to him, he's still going to play every play like it's the next play, and he's going to give you his best.
This is probably, you could probably go on for hours, but what do you like most about your unit, your defense?
They're all gas. I mean, they play for each other, they love one another, and they genuinely care for one another. So it's that love that kind of makes them special.
And then just setting the tone earlier with the pass rush, the run defense, is that pretty much how you drew it up?
Always, always.
Robert, congratulations.
Thank you.
Another exciting game for the 49ers, and I just can't say the word excitement without talking about Kendrick Bourne, or at least having him come to mind. And, you know, he didn't have, you know, a huge game. He had one catch for 6 yards, and, you know, the wide receivers were out there blocking. But anytime you can spend a little bit of time with Kendrick Bourne, it's always fun. And while I was talking to him, Deebo Samuel came up and started yelling, "This is sweet." So, you know, Deebo Samuel had 2 catches for 46 yards, had a couple of running plays that totaled 43 yards, so he had a good game. These young guys are really enjoying this, and here is Kendrick Bourne.
What does it feel like to be going to the Super Bowl in your third NFL season?
Hey, man, priceless, man. I don't even know what to say. Shout out to the team, everybody working their butts off, man. I can't wait to play.
This is unreal! Let's go!
And how fun was it to just be able to ram the ball down their throats? You guys didn't really even have to use the passing game again.
Yeah, man, just believing. That's what we do. You know what I'm saying? We're on first team, and when it goes that way, we can't turn away from it, man. They knew we was running the ball, and we still ran it good on them. So once we get that going, there's no need to put it in the air and put more. Never know what's going to happen when it's in the air, when it's handed off. You know, we can control that. So it just worked so good, man. Shout out to Raheem, man. Best game from a running back I've ever seen.
Kendrick, when you look at Raheem Mostert, all that he's gone through, he had a difficult time even sticking in the league, and here he is setting the 49ers record, not just postseason, but 49ers record for rushing yards in a game. What does that say about
him? Yeah, man, I just feel like when you're undrafted, it's just the drive. I think it's just different when you get pushed away from so many teams, when you get say you can or teams say no to you, they don't think you're good enough, man. It just builds the character, and it just builds the confidence. Each time you probably get cut like he has, and when he got to where he was established and everything like that, you could just tell he knew he was going to take advantage of his opportunity. So it's just crazy to see him. You know he's going to go hard every time just because what he's been through, man. So it just helps him be that dominant.
How much fun are you having?
I'm having so much fun. I'm dancing all night, all day. The Super Bowl 54, here we come, man. Let's go.
All right, Kendrick.
You can't walk away from Kendrick Bourne without a smile on your face. This guy is infectious. Like, he makes you smile. He makes you excited to attack the day. He's just an excitable guy. I think he really gets that sense and really lives every day with the knowledge that he's playing a kid's game.
Yeah, he's out there dancing, and he says he will continue to dance in Miami, as you would expect. Robbie Gould making it back to the Super Bowl. And this is a guy that struggled earlier in the year. Of course, all the offseason issues with his contract. 49ers franchised him. He didn't report and finally got the deal done right before training camp. Got off to a rough start, but he was NFC Special Teams Player of the Month for December, the last month of the season, and has really carried it over strong. And let's not underestimate the impact of his 54-yard field goal right at the beginning of the second quarter, and then he put it away with a 42-yarder fairly late in the game to make it a 3-score game. Here is Robbie Gould.
Robbie, after all you've gone through this season, this team, all the close games, what does it feel like to be going back to the Super Bowl for you?
I'm just really happy. You know, obviously the guys put in a lot of work, and John and Kyle and the organization has done a great job of building the roster to win any way we possibly can, and it's going to be good to go back down to Miami for another Super Bowl, that's for sure.
Now, late in the first quarter, you're lining up for a 54-yard attempt. What was going through the process there? Because you were going to be kicking toward the north end zone. You waited until the end of the second quarter or the end of the first quarter to kick south end zone.
Yeah, you know, we always want to put ourselves in situations to be a little more successful. That end's a little bit more difficult to kick in. And the nice part is the clock was running, so we could get it to the second quarter and kick downwind.
I mean, that was a big one. How'd you feel going out there for that kick?
It's been great. You know, the guys have been blocking really well. There's nobody around my feet. Kyle and Mitch have done a great job. In the last several weeks, we're starting to hit a rhythm and a stride, and just got to keep it going.
So the Special Teams Player of the Month for December, you had a chance to ice it there at the end with a 42-yarder.
I love those situations. You know, I think those are moments that give you an opportunity to do something special and make it harder for them. And, you know, anytime they call your number to do something like that, you got to go out and execute.
All right, Robbie, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
This week at Big O Tires, buy three, get one free on select sets of four Aspen Touring AS or Mesa AP2 brand tires with paid installation purchase. See participating Big O Tire store for details. The buy three tires, get one free sale ends February 2nd. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
So there's really so much to talk about this game. And one of the guys that really stepped up, like so many guys have this season, is Emmanuel Mosley. You know, he lost his starting job, or he got into the starting lineup when Akella Witherspoon was injured earlier in the year, played very well, but Witherspoon got the starting job back from him. But Mosley stayed in it and then had a big pick of Aaron Rodgers in this game.
Yeah, the 49ers coaching staff decides to go with Emmanuel Mosley as the starter on Sunday, and it really proved to be the right decision. You know, he impacted the game in a major way, and I think the takeaway from that is the way that Akello Witherspoon has responded to that whole situation. the fact that he says, let me be a contributor on special teams. I want to help this team in any way I can, as opposed to sulking and having the opposite type of attitude. That's really the sense of this entire 49ers team. It's a team game. You could hear Raheem Mostert talking about Tevin Coleman and going up to Coleman after his injury in the game on Sunday and encouraging him, saying, he's my brother. You know, this is not a, I want to get more carries than you. This is a true brotherhood, and you really get that sense all across the field, on offense, on defense, on special teams, and around the entire organization.
Emmanuel Mosley, a very understated guy, but you can tell he's one of these guys, undrafted rookie from last year, only played in the one game, but it's just the stage isn't too big for him, and caught up with him in the locker room after the game. Here's Emmanuel Mosley. When did you know you were getting the start?
I knew today, whenever everyone else knew that I was going to start, yeah.
And so what's your focus going into this game? You know they're going to try to go after you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I prepare like a starter. I know they're going to come after me. Got Sherman on the other side. He's got to hold it down, you know. Players make plays, and they made some good plays, and then I was able to come away with a good play.
I mean, you seem so mellow. You seem so calm. Were you calm out there?
Yes. The entire game. You got to be calm, man. You get too high, that's when things don't go right.
And how do you just come back by that naturally?
Oh, yeah. Always been like that.
Are your parents like that?
Yeah, my dad and my mom is like that.
And so then what does it mean for you to get the pick late in the first half there that really kind of iced, I mean, for a while
big,
it looks like?
Big, man, big, you know. I really dreamed about it, man. This whole week I've been saying, let's make a game-changing play. And I was blessed for that opportunity and able to take it away.
Can you walk us through that play? What happened?
I just saw the receiver keep going up the field. The first receiver stopped. And I saw the ball, Aaron about to throw it, and I just took my shot.
Emmanuel, think about this. Undrafted, free agent, and you're going to be starting in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
I just got to say, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself, and you can do anything you want.
What do you do now to get ready for the Chiefs?
Oh, you treat it like every week. You go to the film, dissect and find things that you can get them on, and then you take it to the field.
How did your teammates help you get ready for this opportunity, this big stage of playing, starting in the NFC Championship
game? The way that we practice, man. We got a championship practice every practice, you know. We do things the right way, and you be prepared for moments like that.
Laura, you want to know what my favorite play of this game was?
Yes, I want to know. That's what I've been waiting to know, Matt.
It's pretty simple. 49ers and the Packers had each possessed the ball one time. It's a 0-0 game. 49ers had the ball, and they were driving. And then they had a 3rd and 8 at the Green Bay 36. And, of course, they're going to throw the ball, and you know they're going to see if they can keep that drive alive. But it was a run play. It was a trap. The 49ers had decided, or Kyle Shanahan had kind of figured out some tendencies of the Green Bay Packers defense and thought, if we have this opportunity, we can get them with a 3rd and long running play. And boy, did they get them. Raheem Mostert breaks off a 36-yard touchdown. That was a very inventive, gutsy play call from Kyle Shanahan.
But that's what he does. That's who Kyle Shanahan is, and I'm fully expecting to see more scheming and more game planning like that in Super Bowl 54. I mean, that's what he does. This is what Kyle Shanahan does.
Yeah, and so I talked to a couple of the offensive linemen, Joe Staley, Mike McGlinchey, about that play call and just how things are going. Here's Joe Staley talking about that pivotal moment in the game. Seemed kind of ridiculous how much you ran the ball last week, and then this week is
even
greater.
More. Yeah, and that's very. I mean, I've never seen it like that. But you know, that's the thing about Kyle too. He's not going to just just because he's supposed to have a 50-50 balance offensive numbers wise. He's going to do whatever he can do to win, whatever gets the best chance to win. And today and last week, it was the running game, and That's a question for Kyle, though. I mean, I don't call the plays. Just go out there and run them. I knew that we actually hit a trap for the first touchdown. It was a run play on the 3rd and 8. That was huge for us, though, because they do so much exotic stuff on 3rd down. And so we wanted to be able to run a run play and hit a first down conversion off of that, because we felt like that was going to kind of take them out of all their exotic pass rush packages and play a little bit more conservatively. So we were really fired up about being able to hit that for a big score.
Is there a part of you when you know that a run play's been called on 3rd and 8 that you go, we'll see how that?
No, we kind of had that game plan going in, actually, is that we knew kind of like the first couple, maybe first or second. I didn't know it was going to be like the first one, but, first couple, we were going to try to hit a run play on a 3rd and long and just kind of keep them off guard. It had to be the right situation and all that stuff. And, they got in the front that we wanted them to be in, and so we were able to take them out. It's kind of a game plan thing.
And you hit the you blocked the linebacker on that one?
Yeah, so it's a trap play. He's kind of let the 3 technique go through, whoever's playing the B gap, and then I got to go up to the backside linebacker and just seal it off, and then Raheem hits it so fast. If they don't have a guy that's not supposed to be there almost, it's hard to defend.
You have a good night's sleep last night?
Huh?
You have a good night's sleep?
I actually did. Yeah. I went to bed. I woke up 3 times, but I went back to bed quickly, and probably got about like 8 hours, so it was solid.
That was also Joe Staley at the end there talking about the sleep, because remember last week I talked to him and he said that he just kept waking up in the middle of the night. But at least this time he got 8 hours sleep and it showed. And then there's Mike McGlinchey also weighing in on Kyle Shanahan and the trust, the mutual trust that Kyle Shanahan has in calling the run call, which means that he has trust in the offensive lineman, the offense to execute, and then the offense clearly has trust in their head coach to run it so perfectly. So here is Mike McGlinchey. 3rd and 8.
That's been a favorite of everybody around here.
Well, it's crazy. Scoreless game, 3rd and 8, you guys run the ball.
NFC Championship, 3rd and 8, on our own, 40 or something? And Kyle decides, we're going to put the ball in Raheem's hands, we're going to run it. And it was something that we had worked all week, something we had seen all week in their 3rd down packages. We had felt that we could have an opportunity to do so. And I think on our side of the 50, in 3rd and 8, worst case scenario, you get yourself in field position to kick a field goal. And what we knew could happen was the play that did happen. And, it's something that we walked through, we repped all week and talked about in our O-line room. This is a situational play, and Kyle took a chance on it, and it paid off big.
When you see stuff like that he draws up, that he tells you is going to be there, not that you ever needed any more confidence in him. When that comes to fruition, what do you think?
Our coach is a genius, and he's ballsy, and he's he trusts us. That's what the coolest thing about it is that he does these things in the game plan, and he views everybody, all 11 guys on offense, as a weapon, and it puts us all in matchups to where we can succeed. And that was something that we worked at all week that we knew that we could exploit, and it's cool that it did. You don't see it often.
Right. Yeah. But it also seems like it shows that guys trust him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's so cool. It's cool. There's not many play callers out there that would do something like that. And because he has the trust in us and the way that we've been able to do that and execute in the toughest times, we made a play. And it was the biggest one that sparked our run tonight.
You're going to the Super Bowl.
We're going to the Super Bowl. Miami. I heard it's nice in February.
I would imagine. It's been a while since we've been there.
Absolutely. It's going to be awesome for sure.
Mike, thank you very much.
And yes, as Mike McGlinchey says, we're all going to Miami. And the 49ers will be facing the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 54.
And Patrick Mahomes, one of the bright young stars in the NFL. The 49ers and the Chiefs, I think this is a game that many people would like to see this matchup in the Super Bowl.
I want to see it. Yes.
These are two of the, you hate to see a Super Bowl when the two best teams don't make it there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this Super Bowl, the two best teams have made it to Super Bowl 54. And
so you're not the Ravens. The Ravens, they were the best team throughout the regular season, but the Chiefs, man, they got speed. They got Mahomes. Mahomes was the MVP of the NFL season in 2018. He was still darn good in 2019. I'm really excited about this because, you know, just from somebody who has followed the NFL for years, Patrick Mahomes, this is, you know, this is a game where he can really start to create that legend. And the 49ers are coming in, playing some really good defense with Robert Saleh. Their offense is so fun to watch, even when they're just running the ball, running the ball, running the ball. I think it's going to be a tremendous matchup.
I do, too. And I think you brought up the Ravens. They're also a great team. But here's the thing about the Chiefs. They've been down in their two playoff games, not just by a little. I mean, they've fallen behind. But this is a team that fights.
Yeah.
And they prove that they can go out and win those games no matter how far they're down.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where, you know, and I probably shouldn't have done it. It's become kind of a running joke because in that game in Seattle, I like tweeted, I think Raheem Mostert scored a touchdown in Seattle with about 5 or 6 minutes left, and I said, dagger, you know, which is like the game's over. Well, obviously it wasn't over. Thank you, Dre Greenlaw, for making me not look like an idiot. And this time after Mostert scored on the 27-yard, or not, to make it 27-0, he scored right before the half. I go, dagger.
You went ahead and put it out there.
27-0, yes. Well, you know what? To your point, if the Chiefs fall behind 27-0,
you won't be sending out any dagger
tweets. No, I don't think so, unless there's like 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs can score in a hurry. And, I mean, the 49ers defense has been great all season. How about Dee Ford? He's going to be going up against his former team. This is going to be a really good matchup in Miami, Super Bowl 54. And we will be there all week long with NBC Sports, BayArea.com, filling all of your needs, whether it's TV,
we got you
podcasts,
covered.
Writing, whatever the case may be, we will be there.
That's the truth. Do I get kicked off the podcast in Miami? You're going to have to come find me. You're going to have to hunt me down. I might be on a beach somewhere. I don't know, Mayoko. Good luck. Good luck to you.
Wow. Jesus, it's going to leave me hanging.
I think you can hold your own.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, this is going to be a busy, busy week, but it will be fun.
And we look forward to having all of you guys tune in on NBC Sports Bay Area. Like Matt said, on TV, we got you covered on the podcast, on the My Teams app, on NBCSportsBayArea.com. I know you guys, as listeners and fans of the 49ers, are really excited about this trip to the Super Bowl, and we're going to be putting out all kinds of stuff for you to read and see, and stats and stories all over the place.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and be sure to subscribe to the 49ers Insider Podcast anywhere you get your podcast, and you might as well listen to all the podcasts that we've done here recently because we've had some good ones, and I really had a fun one the other day where we had the Letters to 87 live event in Walnut Creek, and you get to hear from Steve Young, Brent Jones, Dwight Hicks, and Eric Wright. So be sure to subscribe, leave a rating and a review, and check out all of our stuff from Miami, Florida.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.